Okay, I want us to focus today in our discussion as a madrich, even as every individual. There is a concept that Shlomo HaMelech taught us in Mishle, and I want us to think about the importance of this concept and how we can transmit this concept and apply it in our lives, because this is really a concept that will permeate one's life and is a concept that can change the perspective of the chanichim or of every individual. The concept is a pasuk in Mishle. Shlomo HaMelech says, "Kabed et Hashem, honor God, mehonecha, from your wealth." And Chazal tell us that this concept is to be understood as follows. Everyone is gifted with certain talents. One guy has a beautiful voice. One guy knows how to compose music. Another guy is a carpenter. Every person is gifted with certain talents. And Chazal said that is called your wealth. And Shlomo HaMelech was telling us that every one of us is responsible to honor God with our personal wealth. So if my acumen is in composing music, so use that. If my forte is in building, so let me build a beautiful shul. Every person has certain skills, and every person should look for using those skills in the service of Hashem. Kabed et Hashem meonecha. Honor Hashem from your personal wealth. Now Chazal even said in their drasha, they said, Al tikre mehonecha. Don't read the verses, honor Hashem from your wealth, Ela, but rather migronecha, from your throat. Chazal said it's relevant to a person who has a beautiful voice. But it doesn't only mean a beautiful voice. It means certain talent, and every person has their talent. Chazal said, a person who has a beautiful voice, when he sings in shul, he's using that talent, that gift, that wealth, to honor Hashem. So this is a concept which can change a person's perspective. Meaning a person can think of his job as, let's say he's a carpenter. I work all day, I'm not doing holy things all day. So the first point is to help a person think about using those talents in a holy way. Up in Bat Yam, you wanted a story. It's always good to add stories when you guys are going to be madrichim. So we'll bring a quick story. There's a man by the name of Rav David Chai HaKohen. And he went up to Bat Yam, to a community that was not really observant. And he went to live there to help them learn about Judaism. And he started a very, very small community. And the people told him, if we want to get anywhere, we have to build a yeshiva here. So we bring more guys, and we'll have more classes, and we'll move the community forward. So he asked them, do you have funds to build a yeshiva? They said no. But he recognized that they were right, they needed a yeshiva. So he started going door to door, asking people to donate to help build a yeshiva in Bat Yam. He came to one person's house, and the person told him, look, I can't give you so much money, but I'm a builder. I can give you the bricks to build a yeshiva. I'll donate the raw materials, and you find out how you could build it. So Rav David Chai HaKohen said, great. You donate the raw materials, we'll move forward and figure out the rest. Started looking and searching, and he couldn't find a builder who would donate his time and just build the yeshiva for him. But he found someone who agreed. He said, I'll teach you how to build. And he went through the community. Each person with their skill came, and what they do is at night, everyone after work would get together at a plot that they bought, and with their own hands, they built the yeshiva. Rav David Chai HaKohen, the rabbi, together with the people of the community, everyone learned, they all learned. Someone came there and taught them, this is how you lay a foundation, this is how you do this, this is how you do that, and they did it. Today they have a yeshiva there, and the whole community is turning around. Now that's a live example. Today you could go to Bat Yam, spend the Shabbos with the community, and see that's a community that took this concept of Kaved et Hashem Onecha, honor Hashem from your wealth. Each one took their talents, and together they built a shul. They built a yeshiva. So not only a shul, it's a yeshiva, which is now starting to change the whole community slowly. slowly. Now they have a place for their children to go to school. They have a place that has the people who come to learn the yeshiva teach in the day school. And the whole community is slowly turning around. But it began with this concept, Kabed et Hashem Monecha. Now, tonight is Rosh Chodesh. Tonight is also the Yahrzeit. A few years ago, on this day, there passed away a young rabbi, Shraga Shlomo ben Avram Tzvi, and our learning should be in his merit, in his chus. So his name, he was known as Rabbi Goder, Shraga Shlomo ben Avram Tzvi, and he came to a community in Norfolk, Virginia. Another story. The community was on the verge of selling their shul to a movie theater. No one was coming. They had this huge shul. No one was coming. So they were going to take the shul and just sell it. Sell it as a theater. And he came in and he started working with the community. Took them to ball games. Had events. And suddenly people who never attended shul came and attended shul. And he once said a beautiful, beautiful pshat in a Mishnah that we say every morning. We say every morning, Elu dvarim shen lehem shiur, right? We say there are certain things that there's no measurement. Right? And then we say, Elu dvarim shakan kem tol olam ba. These are the following things a person needs, the fruits in this world, but the main reward is in the world to come. Kibra v'aim, k'milus chasadim. And then we conclude, we say, Talmud Torah k'neged kulam. Learning Torah corresponds to all of them. So he once said, what does it mean learning Torah corresponds to all of them? The simple understanding is the greatest mitzvah is learning Torah. Every other mitzvah is good, but learning Torah is better. But he said a very deep and beautiful thought. He said, when you perform mitzvot, so you want to honor your parents. A person's parent is in an old age home. Does he drive on Shabbos? So we don't drive on Shabbos. But a person might say, I have to honor my parents, so I'll give them my whole salary. How will he make a living? So I won't give them any of my salary, but they need your help. So how do you find the balance? What's the middle ground? How do you do these mitzvot? They're mitzvot that you want to do. You understand they're good to your fellow men, but how do you perform them? The only way to perform them correctly is when you have Torah together with them. So he said it about the Mishnah, that when it comes to things between us and our fellow men, we have to know that with Torah we'll do it the balanced way. We'll do it the correct way. We have to take it one step further. When it comes to our jobs, when it comes to our talents, we also have to think of how to work it with Torah. A person is a kohen. A kohen is not allowed to become tameh. He wants to study medicine. In order to study medicine, he has to work on cadavers. He's not allowed to work on cadavers because he's touching a dead person. A kohen is not allowed to touch a dead person. Can he become a kohen or not? He has to consult with his local Orthodox rabbi, find out if it's possible and how. Depends on who his rabbi is, what his opinion is going to be, and how they'll work out how to do it. Depends on the country, depends on many things. Each person has to consult with his rabbi and figure out how to do it. Either it's doable or not, but hopefully it is, and we'll find a way. We had a guy who was a musician. He wasn't Jewish, and he became a ger. Now, when he started in music, so he used to play in concerts, in front of non-Jewish crowds. He had music that wasn't filthy. It was clean music, but it had nice thoughts, nothing Jewish about it, but it was beautiful music, and crowds went wild over him. He learned, became Jewish, and he was accustomed to playing in front of non-Jewish crowds. So he went to a concert. He gave a concert, and they were serving pork at the concert, and there were girls and boys and everything together. So his rabbi heard of this, and he called him in, and he said, look, You play beautifully, your music is wonderful. You have to figure out how to do this halachically correct. You have to use your music to do things that are positive. So today he's writing music and playing beautiful music and attracting beautiful crowds, and he's using that music to bring people back to Judaism. Through his music he gives over beautiful messages, and he's using the same talent he has. But now instead of playing in front of a crowd that's eating pork and dancing boys and girls together, he's playing in front of the same crowd that would otherwise be eating pork, and they're eating kosher. And he has preconditions. He tells the bar or wherever it is he's playing, if I come, there has to be kosher food, and there has to be A, B, and C, so that we can do this halachically correct. So he's taking that talent, he's using it, and he's using it in the service of Hashem. The service of Hashem doesn't mean only in a shul. Every person has to think, I will do it. There is an eyeglasses shop, franchise throughout the country called Halperin. You guys heard of them? Halperin, they sell the cheapest glasses. The head of Halperin is a rabbi named Rabbi Halperin. Now, Rabbi Halperin has a history. When he was younger, he was a wrestler. He was a wrestler. And he didn't know much about Judaism. But he was big. He was a big wrestler. He wrestled in the Olympics. And he represented the state of Israel in his wrestling matches. So when he went wrestling, he had underwear with the Magen David. The underwear they wear when they wrestle had this big Magen David on it. And he used the talents he had as a wrestler and as a public figure to bring people back. You have a person by the name Uri Zohar. You guys heard of him? He was an Israeli, I think, rock star. And then he said there must be more to life than rock and roll and drugs and everything else that's out there. And he searched and he searched, and then he learned about what Judaism is all about. And today, he's taking his fame and using it to tell people, why don't you come see what this is all about? You grew up hearing it's nonsense. Why don't you investigate and you see how much depth and how much meaning there is to it? Every role a person has in life, he could use for good. Provided it's within the confines of halacha. A person's going to be a hitman, so he has a problem. Yeah. A person has to look to the halachic sources to find a way to take his talents and use them to advance the world in general, the Torah world, the Jewish world. We have obligations in general. We were put on this planet to do positive things. So we have to look and see how to do that, but it's feasible. I was a magician in my youth. You guys know that, right? Told you, I was a magician. So at some point I decided I have to do something more important in life than be a magician. So I was inventing magic tricks and I was going to magic shows and I was big time into it. I had suitcases filled with magic supplies and I would put on shows. Today I discovered that it's not so simple, halachically, whether you're allowed to do a magic trick or not. It's a complicated halachic question, but in my youth I didn't know the difference. So I was doing magic shows, and the first thing I did when I wanted to use magic in a positive way was I'd attract children to learning. The first class I gave, I was 13, and the kids were 11. And you had a co-ed class, half the people there were bigger than me, you know I'm short. So everyone there is bigger than me at 11 years old, and I'm 13. What am I doing giving a class to 11-year-olds? But their teacher didn't show, and they called me up from JEP, Jewish Educational Project. They said, we have this class, they're coming in. Instead of canceling, you go give the class. I said, okay, I'll give a class. And I knew that if I catch them within the first minute of the class, I have. If within the first minute there's havoc and I don't get anywhere, so then the rest of the class is going to just follow suit. So what did I do? First of all, I put on a tie and a jacket. The clothes make the man. And I showed up to the class, and I pulled a handkerchief out of thin air. I didn't say a word. I just stood there and I said, good morning, everyone. Showed them my hand, reached into thin air, pulled out a handkerchief. Silence. How do I do that? Took the handkerchief and said, I'll show you. Put the handkerchief in my hand. Disappeared. How do you do that? I said, now you guys are interested, right? Let's talk. We'll get to that. Pick out a few coins. It was Hanukkah time. It was now, Kislev time. And I said to them, these coins are very special coins. The first reason they're special is because they pass through solids. You pass them through a table. They just go straight through. The second reason they're special, you will tell me. So I just did a magic trick. And then I gave out a bunch of coins. And I told them, now each of you look at the coins and tell me, what do all these coins have in common? I've got their attention. I've taken something interesting. I've made a magic trick. I take the talent that Antona I've been using for nothing, just to make money, just to entertain, and I'm using it now to guide them. Kabid et Hashem me'onecha. Honor Hashem from your wealth. Each of us has our personal wealth. But we have to know how to use it. There's nothing wrong with having talent. That's right. It's a gift that God gave us. But we have to use it. Every person has to guide his talent.
Alone just showing your talent, good enough.
What do people gain just because they say I can do magic?
No, because God gave you that gift, so the fact that you...
What are you doing with it? What? You take using it for what? Just to play music? So sit in the forest and play music. The birds will enjoy. What's the difference?
You can do it, you can use it too.
Oh, so it's always good to have an income. So that's where we have to develop this thought, as far as that having parnasa is part of a mitzvah. A person has to have money. That's all true. But I want us to begin with the thought that we could use our parnasa in a positive way. How we do that, every person has to think. It's not simple. There's no easy formula. I'm giving you examples to give you directions to think about. Of course, when you're working as a madrich, you have to also work and develop this concept. There is the basic concept that just making a parnasa, making a living, is part of a mitzvah. You can't. How are you going to buy a loaf and esrog? How are you going to afford to buy tefillin? How do you do all the mitzvahs? You need money to do mitzvot. There is that aspect as well. But we have to remember not to remain there. We have to take our talents and use them positively. It's not enough just to say, well, I'm making a living. No, that's exactly the point. That's why I began with this. So, yes, let's summarize what we said today. A, you do need to make a living, and that in and of itself is important. But B, our living has to be in the confines of aloha, like we discussed. Just like the mitzvos, even the things we do that are humane, are quantified by aloha, so too our living has to be quantified by aloha. And see, when we're given talents, we have to use them not only to make a living, but we have to find ways to use them to do things that are positive. So it could be like the community in Bat Yam that builds a yeshiva on their time off. In the evenings, everyone comes out. That's the family project. Everyone's coming out and building a yeshiva together. Or it could be the magician who's using it to attract kids to Torah. Or it could be the musician who's composing music that brings people back. Each one has to figure out his niche. That's not defined for us. And it's beautiful that it's not defined, because it gives us our potential for ingenuity. Yeah? I didn't give you a solution. I gave you a project now. But it's a lifelong project. The solution you find today might not be the solution for tomorrow. It's something that evolves. So today, I rarely show magic tricks. I just the fact that I walk into a group of guys who show up from Bnei Akiva, and they're new in yeshiva, and I introduce myself and I say, I'm a magician, already puts the guys at ease with me. I don't have to show a magic trick. But the fact that you're talking to a rabbi who's also a magician, so it gives us totally different flavor to the learning. So there are different ways in different stages of life. Today I don't think it's important that I show a magic trick. That's not what I'm here for. But sometimes when I meet guys in Machon Meir, so I'll talk to them about the portfolio I had a few years ago, my stock investments, because that's where their lives are. So you use that to get close to a person. Everything can be used for positive, but we have to think about it. We have to know that God gave us certain wealth, and we have to use it to further the honor of Hashem in this world. For today, we'll have to stop. I have to get ready for Arvit.